In a time where society is suffering from what many call the effects of a fatherless generation, we need a place where men can receive godly wisdom and guidance so they can take their rightful place as the leaders of their community. A place where men freely discuss men's issues from a biblical perspective. Because the world won't get better until we do.
As men, we don't commit for a few reasons. One, because we don't want to. Number two, because we don't have to. Or three, because we're afraid to.
Okay. We don't want to, we don't have to, and we're afraid to.
Join Pastor Tuck and Brother Corey in the Man Cave. And be challenged to be a better husband, father, or simply the man that God called you to be. Get ready for the Man Cave on the all-new My Church channel.
Good evening and welcome to the Man Cave. I'm Pastor Tuck, and if this is your first time joining us, you're exactly where God wants you to be, because in the Man Cave, we help men get better, become better husbands, better fathers, better sons, better brothers, or just the men that God called them to be by simply teaching them how to apply the Word of God to their lives and providing a genuine environment of transparency and support where they can learn and grow. So I want to encourage you to join us every second Thursday at 7:30 p.m. right here on the My Church channel, and share this with every brother you know. And joining me tonight for tonight's discussion is, as always, my spiritual son, brother, and co-host of the Man Cave, Brother Corey Coleman. So let's welcome Brother Corey to the cave. Brother Corey, come on into the cave.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's up, Pastor Tuck? How you feeling?
What's happening, sir? What's happening? What's happening?
Hey, man, I'm excited to be here one more time in the Man Cave with the fellas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. This is a good time, man. We looking forward, man. It's about to pop off. We about to do this thing, man. Man, and I'm excited, man. I was able to spend some time and press the flesh with my son on last weekend, man. I actually got to go down and hang out with him in person. Man, that was a good time, man. Spend time with the family. Celebrate my daughter's birthday, man. Man, that was a great time. Man, we just got to love on Sis Ashley, man. That was a good time as well.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And she was so excited that you and Pastor Steph was able to make it. She talked about it all night. And we have a running joke in the house because she's a little older than me. So I always, every chance I get, I get to remind her of that. So it was a good time.
Oh yeah, yeah. Same thing in my house. You know, I got a cougar too. You know, so you know, it's a great thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But she had a great time, man. And like I said, we were able to love on her and help her celebrate her 40th. So she's excited. She's still excited.
Oh man, that's great stuff. It's good stuff. Good stuff. You're a good son, man, and good man, man. Loving on your wife. That's what real men do, man. So that's awesome. You did a great job, man. Fellas, you got to step your game up. Got to step your game up. Brother Corey loved on the right, man. Goddamn, Brother Corey he didn't just have music playing at the party. He had a live jazz player at the party, sax player sitting there playing jazz for his wife. Like jazz, he had a live sax player sitting there the whole evening playing jazz the whole evening during the party. I was like, yeah, he took it to a whole nother level. Court, I taught him well, boy. He got game. I'm trying to tell you, I'm gonna step your game up, because Court,
I learned from the best.
He did his thing.
I learned from the best.
That's it. Because we don't play around when it comes to our women. I'm telling you. I've always had one rule in my house. They don't wear Jordans. They don't wear Kobe jerseys. They don't wear Shaq jerseys. They don't wear LeBron jerseys. They wear Pastor Tucker jerseys in my house. I'm trying to tell you.
There you go.
You got to make sure they always wearing your jersey. I'm telling you, if you a man, they shouldn't talk about Denzel. They shouldn't talk about Blair. You ought to be the most popular man in your house. That's your job, is to make sure that you the man that they always talk about. When they on their job, they ain't talking about, ooh, did you see Idris the other night? No, they ought to be like, ooh, did you see Pastor Tucker yesterday at church? Oh my God. That's how they ought to be talking about you at your house.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm telling you, that's your job as a man. You make sure that's all she talking about.
That was for somebody right there.
Hey, I'm trying to bless you. I'm giving you these nuggets, bro. I'm trying to give you these nuggets.
That hit somebody.
She ought not be talking about, when you gonna go get you some better clothes? When you gonna get a haircut? No. You see this? But hey, I keep it tight. Keep it tight.
Right.
Bro,
right.
when I used to have locks, they was the best. Boy, it looked like Gerald LaVert. Boy, them curls was up there. Well, I'm trying to tell you. So when they drop, I keep this beard tight. Do you understand what I'm saying?
There you go. Luscious. There you go.
You got to keep it right for him. You got to keep it right for him.
There you go. I only have this because of her.
Hey, you got to keep them happy, man. You got to keep
the
them
only
happy.
Reason. Absolutely.
Keep them smiling.
Absolutely.
But yes, sir. Well, bro, Corey, on last time, man, we talked about the dangers of this digital age and how constant connectivity can affect our spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Well, tonight, I want to go a little deeper into the battle that many men face, but very few talk about openly. And that's pornography.
Yeah.
Lust and the battle of the mind. Mm-hmm. Because brothers, the enemy understands something. If he can control a man's mind, he can weaken a man's destiny. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible tells us something important about how temptation works. Over in James, he says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and is enticed. Mm-hmm. Then after desire has conceived it, gives birth to sin. You got to pay attention to the progression. First is desire. Mm-hmm. Then there's sin. And then there's destruction. Sin rarely starts with an action. It starts with a thought. Corey, let me ask you something to start us off. Why do you think the enemy attacks men so heavily in the area of lust and sexual temptation?
I think that's because that's one of the strongest things that we fight against. And I think if he can grip us and get us distracted in that particular area, that could cause and will cause everything else to follow.
You know,
so in that, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, so in that, what may be that one thing, again, affects so many other areas that if he can just put all his focus into that and distract us from that calling, distract us from being good men, good husbands, good fathers, then everything else associated with us follows suit.
You know, what I think so many people don't understand, and I want to give some clarity.
Yeah.
The enemy can't create anything.
Right.
What the enemy's job is to pervert, mm-hmm. to distort. Mm-hmm. And what God did when he created us, he made us as men, he made us visual creatures.
Right.
You know, we're visually stimulated. And that's actually a gift. That's actually the way we operate that way. He did that for a reason. And the reason was to keep us connected to our wives. Mm-hmm. It was for a purpose. Mm-hmm. It's to enhance the relationship with us and our wives. It's for a singular purpose. Mm-hmm. It's to make our relationship closer.
Right.
It's for procreation, but it's also to enhance our covenant. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, if we don't use a thing, anything that's not used properly will be misused. It will become abused. And when Satan is able to pervert, to twist a purpose, like I said, it becomes abuse. And so that's what's happening, because God has given you eyes for your wife, right? Mm-hmm. He's given you that desire for your wife. If you remember even when the fall happened and the punishment, he even spoke to the woman. He told her, he said, your desire would be for your husband.
Yeah.
Remember? That's what that desire is for. It's for your partner. It's for your wife. It's for your husband, for your spouse. But when we take that same desire, that same focus, and put it on somebody else, it becomes adultery. It becomes something that it becomes lust. It's different. And so that's the problem. And that's what the enemy does, because if he can get that focus off target, it now becomes something abnormal. And that's where the problem becomes. And that's why he wants to do that, because now he can twist it. He can turn it. He can now get you off the path. Because it's the same, it's like anything else. If you have a desire, for to achieve and to be successful, you know, but you have a desire for wealth, you know, and God gives you a desire because he wants you to be successful in a particular area, but now you just start coveting somebody else's stuff. Now it has become perverted. And so now that desire in the wrong direction is now going to lead you in the path where you start doing things that you shouldn't. Because that covetousness is leave you to the point where now you become jealous. Now you start trying to do things to derail somebody else, where you start even wanting to take stuff from somebody else, because now you're going down another path.
And you start to compromise your standards.
Exactly. It starts to take you down a wrong road. And so that's how that thing works. That desire leads you to sin. And then sin has consequences. So, like I said, sin rarely starts with the action. It starts with that thought. And so that's why the enemy wants us to now get into this place. And that's why he attacks us so heavily with that lust and that sexual temptation, because he knows that this purpose is for us to maintain this family unit, which means so much to the Lord. And because that family structure is the base of everything. It's the base of humanity, is the base of the church, and men, we are the foundation of all of that. And so the thing that he's given us to preserve that and to be the energy behind that, if he can twist that, now he starts to destroy all of that.
Right.
Now, something a lot of people don't realize is that pornography doesn't just affect you spiritually. It affects you neurologically.
Mm-hmm.
When someone watches pornography, the brain releases a powerful chemical called dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
Dopamine is the brain's reward chemical. Mm-hmm. It's the same chemical release when people experience things like winning, eating something enjoyable, you know, achieving a goal. But pornography floods the brain with unnaturally high levels of dopamine. And over time, the brain begins to crave that stimulation.
Mm.
You know, this is something God showed me. And it's crazy, because this is something I just, when I was sitting there going through this just now, it brought something back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I went to Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. We used to love going to Vegas because I loved the architecture of Vegas. Vegas is such an amazing city as far as architecture goes. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the casino that looks like the pyramid. You got the one that looks like New York. It's like you can go and look around the world in Vegas just walking down the strip just because of the way they built the buildings. And so it's amazing, the architectural structures in Vegas. And then of course the food there is amazing. Like I said, you got the greatest restaurants in the world there. You got shopping, you know, it's a place that's awesome as far as wealth is concerned and things of that nature. But it's also very hedonistic, so you got to be careful. You got to be safe. You can go there. I'm glad I never went when I was unsaved, because I probably wouldn't have made it out. I mean, it's a very dangerous place to go if you're unsafe. So if you're not safe, don't go to Vegas, trust me. But we used to love to go there on vacation, me and my wife. and used to go look around. And I remember we had gone one time, and we were there with some pastors, and we went to a casino restaurant we were going in. And everywhere you go, they got gaming everywhere. And so I've never been a gambler. You know, I mean, I played cards and stuff, you know, when I was coming up and things of that nature, you know, shot dice and stuff like that in the street. But I've never been in a casino, whatever, that kind of stuff. So I was like,
yeah,
I don't understand the draw, you know what I'm saying, uh-huh. of people coming and giving your money to these people. I don't get it. Uh-huh. So I was like, I want to try this. So I walk over to the roulette table, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, $20. Let me put 20 on black. Wesley always bet on black, you know. I slapped 20 down on the table, bet on black. Bam. Dude slides $400 over to me. I was like, whoa.
And that's how people get caught.
Exactly.
And, get caught up.
And I felt something.
Yeah.
And it was the dopamine.
Mm.
But the thing about it was, what it was for me, I felt it and it was familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this was the first time I'd done it, it was familiar. Mm-hmm. I remembered the feeling. I remembered the feeling the first time as a kid somebody showed me a nudie magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered the first time as a kid cursing with my cousin around behind the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remembered that feeling. It was that same feeling every time I had done something wrong, something I knew I wasn't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so crazy to me. I was like, oh, that's it. That same spike that you get. Shot. That first time you do something wrong is that, and you can never get that one back. It's so crazy mm-hmm. because it's like that first dose is always the highest.
Yeah.
And you spend your life chasing it. It's like a dope fiend.
Yeah. You took that thought out of my head. I was like, you get that first hit and then you chase that same one.
You chase that same high and you can never get high, it back. Yeah. Because the first exposure is never the same.
Yeah.
And you chase that because that feeling that first time is always the one that you're chasing and you can never get that back. And you continually chase. And that's the trick of the enemy. And when God showed me that, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I snatched that money off that table and I was like, let's go. And I gave it to I split the money between me and my wife and the pastors that were here. I said, y'all go buy yourself something. I said, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Because when God showed it to me, I was like, that's what that is.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy because when I figured out that that's what it was, that's what it is. But that's the same thing that happens because pornography floods the brain with this unnaturally high level of dopamine. And over time, the brain begins to crave that stimulation. Yeah. And that's how habits turn into addictions.
Yeah. You know what's amazing about that, Pastor? Even as you say it, I'm sure that if you think back, you probably did, but it can make you, and it probably did make you a lot more humble and empathetic to other types of addiction.
Yes.
So when you're confronting someone with an alcohol problem, or you're confronting someone with a drug problem, or a porn problem, or, you know, a woman problem, whatever the issue is, you're then able to say, you know what, and recognize, you know, that's what it is right there. It's not so much the drug. It's not so much the alcohol.
No.
They're chasing this chemical. Yeah, this feeling is what it is. But go ahead. I just thought I'd throw that in.
They're chasing that feeling. And that's why you have to be mindful. That's why the Bible says we must be aware of the enemy schemes. You cannot be unaware of the enemy schemes. You have to know what it is. Let me ask you something. Why do you think something that starts as curiosity for many men can slowly turn into something that feels difficult to break?
Because it's innocent. Because I think it starts off as as simple as, in just speaking in terms of pornography, is one of those things that kind of start off as just a commercial, you know? And I think, you know, the line is blurred more and more, you know, the more and more you see it, it becomes more, more comfortable or more accepted. But just because it's accepted doesn't mean that it's right.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a quote once before that said, you know, sin feels like a choice until you try to quit. Feels like a choice until you try to quit. And you realize that, and maybe you don't realize until that time where you try to stop, you realize how much of a grip it actually has.
Wow. You know, you saw, gave me an awesome illustration for that. It's like I had a guy I knew. He used to go to Pastor Bullock's church years ago. He used to be Pastor Bullock's PPA years ago. And he was telling me a story about he was at the beach one day. And say he was out in the water, like wading in the tide, you know, just kind of floating, you know, and he was just out there just kind of floating. Him and his family was out there and everybody was out on the beach barbecuing and stuff. And he was just kind of like laid back, you know, and floating. And say, you know, he looked up, you know, and just kind of laid back and you know, and said, but when he noticed, he had floated out further.
He out there.
Than he had intended. And when he tried to swim back, he couldn't. The tide had taken him out further. Mm-hmm. And that undercurrent had started to pull him out. Mm-hmm. And so when he started to swim back, he was swimming against current and he couldn't. And so he's yelling and he can't even see him. They're going out of sight and they don't even see him. Yeah. And so now he's panicking because it's like, he can swim, but he can't even, he's swimming, but he's not making any progress because the current is taking him.
Yeah.
And so at this point he's panicking. And so he's like, he's trying to swim. And it's like, and now he's losing energy. He's losing breath. And so he's starting to go under now. So he like, he think he about to die. Yeah. And so he's like, cause they don't even see me. I'm out here. Can't nobody come get me. I'm on. And so at that point he was just like, he called on Jesus. He's saying that right when he did that, he said a wave came, picked him up and dumped him on the beach.
Wow.
And the whole thing is, like you said, it was so subtle the way he just kept drifting. Like you said, he thought he had a choice. And that's the way sin is. You in it and you think everything's cool and you think I can go back any time, but you done drifted so far.
Yeah.
That you in it so deep.
Yeah.
That you can't stop. And the only way out is Jesus.
You're on a hamster wheel. That was what I thought of when we were saying that. You're just going in a cycle.
And it's so crazy because, like it says, we don't even realize how dangerous it is. Like you say, you think it's a choice until it's not.
Right.
But it's like you said, it's actually this thing, like you said, we've gotten caught into this place where it's not even conscious. It's not even a conscious decision anymore.
Yeah.
That we've just gotten swept up in this thing.
Yeah.
And
I think it goes.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and then it goes back to kind of what you alluded to earlier, is just really acknowledging the fact that I have a problem here. I think that the first, you know, step to recovering from anything is one saying, you know what, I have a problem with this, and being honest with yourself. And I myself had an issue with it years ago. And one of the biggest things is just one, acknowledge it and realizing one, you're not by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's a $1 trillion industry.
Yeah.
I want funding and by myself.
Yeah.
So there's other brothers that are dealing with the same thing and understanding that one, I'm not alone. And if they can get over this, I can get over this too. And surrounding yourself with brothers that are going to hold you accountable and that are going to help you take those steps to recovery, whether that's pornography, whether that's drugs, whether that's alcohol, or whatever the case may be. making sure that one, you acknowledge it.
And the other thing with that, you have to actually be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with the Lord, because so many times we say we're struggling with something and it's not even a struggle. It's a choice. We're actually actively doing things, and then we're saying we're struggling with it. We got to be honest and say, Lord, I like this. I like doing this.
Yeah.
I need you to take the desire from me.
Yeah.
Because when you say I'm struggling with something that you enjoy doing, that's not a struggle.
Yeah.
That's not a struggle. And so you're lying to yourself and you're lying to the Lord. I'm actually enjoying this. This is something I like to do, but I know it's not pleasing to you, Lord. I need you to you need to be honest with God, because God can't deal with you while you lying.
That was huge right there.
You know, it's like telling your wife, I made a mistake. And you went and you got up and called the girl and went to the hotel. That wasn't a mistake.
Choice.
That was a choice. Mm-hmm. She can't forgive that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't an accident. Mm-hmm. Cheating is not an accident. These are the types of things that they can't forgive, that just like the Lord can't. You can't forgive something that you're not even going to be honest about. You got to take accountability. And so that's why we have to be honest when we're actually walking through these processes in order to get help. You know,
yeah.
And see, what most people don't even recognize is that we think, well, it's not that bad. Listen, Jesus addressed lust directly. You know, some people say, well, I didn't actually do anything, but Jesus addressed this directly. He says, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has actually committed adultery with her in his heart. Mm. See, you know, most I have to tell people, you don't realize the Bible actually literally talks about masturbation and pornography. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, plug it out. Mm-hmm. He said, if your left hand offends you, cut it off. What do you think he's talking about? Masturbation and pornography. Because what you doing with your eyes? You're looking. What you doing with your hand? He's talking about sexual sin. We have to get that. He said, if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, has committed adultery with her in his heart. He's addressing the actions. He has addressed the heart condition behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Because God understands something. What we allow to live in our imagination eventually shows up in our actions. Yeah. Or why do you think Jesus raised the standard from just behavior to the condition of our heart?
I mean, basically just what you just said. What starts out as just a thought or just something that, you know, kind of flies over our head, if we dwell on that thing long enough, then it produces actions. That innocent thing that we think about, that innocent thing that crosses our mind, or what seems to be innocent, let me say that crosses our mind, when bedded there and when allowed to grow roots, end up staying there. And that thing that stays there, again, eventually produces actions behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, because the word tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
So is he.
It's going to become who you really are.
Yeah.
And that's why we got to be careful how we spend our time, how we spend those things. We got to guard that heart.
Subtly. And I think that, you know, and I just wanted to add that on there again, that because a lot of these things don't just happen, or a lot of these choices sometimes are not big monumental stamps in our day to day, but they're subtle seeds that are just dropped, you know. And if we're not continually tilling up that and not continually getting rid of those negative things, they're going to grow roots. Goes back to that again. They're going to grow roots, and they're going to produce something that we don't want.
Yeah. And see, the battle is bigger than behavior. It's the spiritual warfare. The enemy understands that if he can keep a man trapped in the cycles of shame and temptation, he can weaken his confidence,
right?
His spiritual authority, his leadership in his home, and his effectiveness in the kingdom.
Right.
See, because if you're actively participating in pornography, then you're going to be ashamed when if your wife catches you, if your kids catches you, you're going to constantly be hiding. So it's going to mess with your confidence. You know, you're not going to have the authority to speak into the lives of your kids and things of that nature. And God forbid, you don't recognize the fact that you're going to end up possibly passing this curse down to your sons. You know, one of the things our good friend Akintunde has shared this testimony several times about how he had an issue with this and it has affected his son, you know, because, you know, he had it so bad and then his sons end up finding his stash and then they end up having to deal with this. And so this is an issue.
Yeah.
Especially that you have to make sure, you know, you're like, well, I try to keep my stuff locked up. But like I said, you don't know how that's going to happen.
Right.
You know, because somebody going to walk in and catch you or somebody going to end up on your computer, or on your phone or find your magazines or your DVDs or whatever it is, whatever form. Yeah. And you don't recognize somebody walk in and catch you. And it's like, and these are the things that you don't know how that's going to affect your wife's self-esteem when she sees it and how that's going to affect your relationship. You don't understand and how that's going to weaken your relationship. And right. How that's going to weaken your spiritual authority. It's like, it's almost like Samson, you're going to go to shake yourself when you need to pray for your wife being sick or your kids or something. And you're going to feel like God's not going to answer your prayer because all the enemy is going to remind you of is what you've been doing and the covenants that you've made with him and the partnership and agreement you've been walking in darkness in. So these are the things. See, because this is something God showed me. It's like so many people think that God curses you for the sins that we commit. But what we don't realize is this. You know, the Bible talks about when Satan comes in before the throne with all of the rest, you know, and it's like the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. So when he comes in to plead his case before God, he comes in, he got a notepad of everything that Pastor Tuck and Corey has done wrong. Mm-hmm. But see, when we repent, Jesus is sitting there interceding on our behalf. So Corey had a bad day and he raised his voice at his wife. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, yeah, on April the 1st, Corey cursed at his wife. And Jesus is like, no, that's covered under blood. He repented.
Yeah.
But see, when you don't repent, Jesus has no defense for that. Right. So now he has a valid argument against you. And so now the judgment is because God is just. He's just there is a penalty for sin, which is death. Death doesn't necessarily mean you lose your life, but it means there's some destruction that the enemy is now legally allowed to bring to your life. So now what you have done is now allowed your life to be open for the enemy to have access to your life. Mm. So now what you don't realize is there's some consequences that now come for unrepentant sin. Mm. So now when you are now participating in stuff like pornography on a continual basis, now there's iniquity that you're participating in. There's an open door now for Satan to come in and now participate in your finances, your health, your family, all these relationships, all these areas of your life where stuff is happening now in your life and you can't figure out why it's happening. It's because you've now left a door open that the enemy is now able to stand before God and accuse you. And Jesus has no defense to defend you as a believer. So now your life is open for the enemy to wreak havoc and you have left the door wide open. Mm-hmm. That's like calling the police and telling them they have robbed your house. And the police is like, was the door locked? And you like, no. And the police is like, so what do you want us to do?
Right.
Yeah. They didn't rob you. They didn't rob you. You left the door open.
You gave it away.
You gave it away.
Yeah.
That's like the episode of Martin. You helped them carry the stuff down the stairs and put it in the car.
Yeah.
And so that's literally
what you're doing when you do this, because it affects your confidence, your spiritual authority, your leadership in your house. Your kids won't listen to you. There's a reason why. Because the enemy is now able to bring that seed of rebellion into your house, that seed of disobedience. He's able to plant that seed into your house legally and able to do that in your house because, and you don't have the right to evict him because you're operating in unrepentant sin.
Wow.
Your effectiveness in the kingdom, you aren't able to produce the things according to God's word that you want because the enemy now has the right to resist you legally because you are now operating in unrepentant sin. And shame now becomes one of the enemy's greatest weapons. That's why your faith won't work, because now you don't think that God's word works for you because now he keeps you shrouded in shame. You won't even boldly go before the throne of grace and even ask for what you're entitled to. Because once a man feels ashamed, he often pulls away from prayer.
Right.
He pulls away from church. He pulls away from accountability. He pulls away from community. Corey, let me ask you something important. Why do you think shame is such a powerful weapon that the enemy uses against men?
But I was just about to say it. Because it pulls you, it affects everything else. As a man, if that shame is, and I just regurgitate what you just said, it's gonna make you pull away from prayer. It's gonna make you pull away from family. It's gonna make you pull away from all areas of life that produce great things. It's gonna pull you away and take you out of what God promised you. It's gonna make you feel as worthless. It's gonna make you feel that shame. It's gonna bring all those feelings to the forefront. And that one act, and the way you broke that down was so beautiful, because that one thing disqualifies everything else and allows him to come in and wreak havoc in every other area of your life. All from that one thing that we thought was innocent, that one thing that we thought was just your own battle, has become a whole battle for your entire family. Because of that one thing. And yes, that one thing is that big. That one thing is that important for you to get right, for you to repent, and for you to turn from that thing. That one thing had that much control over the trajectory of your life, and not only your life, but those that are connected to you as well.
And you know, the crazy thing is it literally, that shame, what it does is it changes how you see yourself.
Yeah.
It affects your identity. If you remember like it did with Adam and Eve in the garden, that shame is what caused them to hide from the very presence of God. And it's in the presence of God that you can find deliverance. And that's why the enemy wants to keep using that against you, because it's the only thing that the presence of God is the only place that you can actually get free. And so that's the way he keeps you trapped in this cycle. And that's why shame is what comes with sin. Because sin, pleasure is what he uses to bait you into sin. Shame is how he keeps you trapped in it.
Say that again.
Yes. Pleasure is what he uses to bait you in. And then shame is the lock that keeps you trapped. See, he gives you the promise it's going to be fun. But then once you get in it, he makes you ashamed. So that you can't get out.
Yeah.
See, he lures you away from God with the promise it's going to be fun. And then shame is how he keeps you from going back once you figure out that it wasn't as good as it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because he's like, now you can't go back. God ain't going to take you back.
Right.
Because the only way to get out of it is God. Right. And as long as you're ashamed to go back, God is the only one that can help you. And so he's trying to separate you from your help. But you got to recognize that God is the only answer to all of this. And so you can't worry about being ashamed. You've got Jesus died so that you would not have to deal with the shame. You would not have to deal with the condemnation. He took all of that on Calvary. That's why he let them beat him, pierce him in his side, put the crown of thorns on his head. He dealt with all of that ridicule. He let them spit in his face. He did all of that. So he took all of that shame so that you wouldn't have to be ashamed even in your private life. He did all of that because of all of the stuff that you were going to do.
Right.
So that you wouldn't have to feel the shame, even in the acts that you're in, so that you could receive the deliverance.
Right.
So you've always got a way out if you want it. That's why the Bible says he'll always give you a way of escape. He's left a door open for you to get out. So don't ever believe the lie of the enemy that I got to stay in this. See, the good news is no man is trapped forever. The Bible promises something. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear.
Yeah.
Notice the scripture says temptation is common. That means men are not alone in this battle. But God is also promised a way of escape. See that way of escape practically is always going to be stepping away, getting out. And I'm going to give you some practical tools to get out. We're not just going to talk about this. The Bible tells us in Job 31, he says, Job 31, verse 1. Y'all might want to write that scripture down so you can print that out and put that somewhere if you're dealing with this issue. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. That's something you got to do. You got to make a covenant with your eyes. I had to do that a long time ago. Because one of my weaknesses. I feel everybody is born with a propensity to sin, right? Every person born. This is just a theory that God gave me, that when the Bible says we were born in sin, shaped with iniquity, everybody has a weakness to something, whether it's alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever it is. Everybody's got a weakness to something. I know one of my weaknesses was women. I was born with it. I was born in a family of womanizers. I know that's one of the weaknesses that I had. And so I learned, because I grew up, I was shaped in iniquity. I grew up in an environment that taught me to operate in that iniquity. So when I got saved, I got delivered. I had to learn that I cannot even do, when people are like, oh, it don't hurt to look. Yes, it does. It hurts me.
Yeah.
And so I had to make a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. So when people are like, ooh, you see that? No, I didn't. I don't even look. Like I told you how the enemy perverts stuff. God gave me this desire for my wife, so I don't look at nobody but her. I focus all my energy, all my attention on her. And that's why I am over the moon, over head, over heels, out of my mind in love with Pastor Stephanie. Because I focus all my energy, attention on her.
On her. That's good.
See, if you see, and that's how you fix that. See, instead of allowing the enemy. See, if you took all of the energy that you put in watching pornography and chasing after this and chasing after that, put it where it should be put and watch the fruit of that.
Right.
You'll be like your Senator Sam and Emma off the cartoons. You'll be you'll be in your 80s chasing your wife around the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
See, David guarded his eyes intentionally. That means being honest about what you watch, what you follow online, what environments you place yourself in. See, one thing, and people think, oh, you extra. I very rarely open Instagram. it's one of the social medias that I didn't even allow my daughters to have it until they were graduating from college. Graduating from college.
Mm-hmm.
Not entering, graduating from college. Yeah. Because it is such a visual platform. Mm-hmm. It is very lust driven.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Facebook. It's not like Twitter. Instagram, thirst traps everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I very rarely even open it.
Mm-hmm.
I have accounts on all of the platforms. As ministry, I have a company that we actually employ to manage those accounts for us. I very rarely even go on. I don't even think I've ever even opened my TikTok account. I don't even know what's on it. Mm-hmm. They do all that for me. For that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like some of the stuff I have no business taking in. It's too much stuff there. And we've got to be mindful of that stuff.
Yeah.
See, some people think, oh man, it ain't that big. You don't think it's that big? Read your Bible. Just because David won't pay attention to where he was, he put his eyes, he ended up having a baby out of wedlock with a married woman and ended up committing murder and killing her husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because he was looking somewhere he had no business.
Mm-hmm.
All because of pornography.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He out here looking, saw a woman bathing naked, sent somebody to go get her, bring her to the house, got her pregnant. She was a married woman. He knew she was married.
Yeah.
And then decided to cover it up. He ended up killing her husband. All because of what he saw.
Yeah. Just as you said earlier, as far as your friend, you know, laying back on that beach in that water. Before you know it, you're in the deep.
Yeah.
You're in the deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, it's powerful.
See, sometimes the most spiritual thing a man can do is delete an app, block a site, install accountability software. Yeah. Yeah. You ain't got to go deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Holy Spirit just told me to delete Instagram. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To block this site, OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
Install some accountability software. Give my wife the passcode to my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this thing on?
Mm-hmm.
My wife and my kids got passcodes to everything I own. They got my PIN numbers to my credit cards. Anything I got, they got access to. Because guess what? A real man ain't got nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all heard what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I said it with my chest.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, if anything causes you to stumble, cut it off.
Yeah.
Pluck it out. See, you got to replace the habit. Freedom rarely comes from simply stopping something. Mm-hmm. It comes from replacing it with something better. See, you got to replace late night scrolling with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Or reading.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you got time to be sitting there doing something, start watching a sermon. Start go back through the Man Cave archive and start watching some of these episodes. Make your manhood better. Read your word. Some of that idle time. Go out there and get some exercise. Get that gut off you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the time in isolation, start talking to somebody who will keep you accountable. That time while you in the closet sitting there looking at some nakedness, get on the phone with somebody who gonna put some accountability in your mind.
Yeah.
And then renew your mind. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Freedom starts in how we think. What we feed our mind determines the direction of our lives.
Yeah.
Corey, why do you think renewing your mind is so important for men who want to break unhealthy habits?
Yeah. Again, what you continue to rehearse then starts to produce roots in your heart. And those roots within your heart then produces actions in the natural. So always renewing that mind, keeping that mind stayed on things of God, keeping that mind stayed on things that it should be, alleviates those things being able to then establish roots. And it's a lot easier to pluck a thought than it is to pluck a root.
Mm.
Not impossible, but a lot harder.
Yeah.
A lot harder. A lot harder to get rid of something that's taking root.
Yeah. You're right. It's a lot easier to weed eat than it is to cut down a tree.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me challenge every man watching tonight. Don't allow shame to keep you silent.
Let me add, can I add something to that real quick? Sorry to cut you off, because I thought about this earlier when you were talking of how the enemy will use that shame to arrest or paralyze people and just to keep them into that shame. How it started off with pleasure and then that shame is attached to it, and then it's a ever-running cycle. One of the things we have to do as well in the way that we strip the enemy from being able to use that shame is to one, just finding you a brother. Finding you a brother where you can say, look, I'm struggling with this. Talk to God about it, yes. But in the natural, find you a brother that can hold you accountable, that you can go to and say, you know what? I was ashamed of this, but look, I'm gonna pour this out to you. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what's going on. And you'll be amazed at how that strips the enemy right then and there from being able to hold that burden over your head. Being able to, one, going back to what we said at the very top of the chat, just being able to, one, acknowledge, hey, I'm dealing with this, but then being able to share that with a brother as well to say, you know what, I need some accountability in this area. This is where the enemy has gripped me. This is where he's tried to hold me and where he's planted a lot of shame in my life. I wanted to share this with you. And then in that moment, you stripped him from being able to use that against you. So I just wanted to add that into that. And I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're right on. And when you're looking for that brother, make sure it's somebody who cares about the well-being of your family.
Absolutely.
Like I said, because those are going to be the brothers who are going to push you. The guys who always want to see you and your family win. Like I said, because people who are looking to see you and your family win, they're going to be the ones that are going to push you to do better. The ones that's not going to tell you right when you wrong, the ones who are going to push you, going to get in your stuff when they know when you slacking. Them the ones that's the one that you want. That's the one you want to share it with, because they're the ones that are going to keep you running. And the ones that have already shown you to be the right example, the ones you look up to, the ones that you already know, they ain't got to have it all together, but they got to be the ones that's pushing you in the right direction. Because you don't need nobody who's going to go in the dark with you.
Right.
You need somebody who's going to pull you toward the light.
Right.
And going to encourage you to do what's right.
Mm.
That's good. So I want to encourage you. Don't allow shame to keep you silent. Freedom starts with honesty. And real strength isn't pretending you're perfect. Real strength is saying, I'm willing to fight for my freedom. Because a man who learns to discipline his mind becomes dangerous to the enemy's kingdom.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray for the brothers who are struggling. Because I'm telling you, I know this is not something that there are a few people who are dealing with. There's a lot of people who are dealing with this. And if you know somebody who's dealing with this, I want to make sure that you share this with somebody who you know who's dealing with this. Absolutely. But be honest with yourself. This ain't nothing to play with. Your family's future is on the line. Lord, help us guard our minds, our eyes, and our hearts. Give us the strength to walk in purity, integrity, and in a world full of temptation. Break every chain that tries to hold men in cycles of shame, and help us walk in freedom you intended, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you've been blessed by this broadcast or any of the broadcasts here on My Church Virtual Ministries, we want you to know that this is exactly what God's called us to do. And if you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, you can do so by sowing a financial seed. Just, you can use Cash App, $, My Church Channel, or you can go to our website, lovemychurch.org, and click the donate button and sow a financial seed. But whatever you do, just know that your gifts are going to help us continue to do what God's called us to do. We've got all kinds of faith-based content. We've got, every Sunday morning, we've got 3 opportunities for you to worship. We've got Reveal TV at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash. And then we've got The Leadership Academy. We've got Medicine for the Mind. We've got Women of Worth. We've got The Man Cave. We've got Marriage Seer Training. We've got The Heart of the Pastor. We've got all kinds of faith-based content to help you grow and become the believer that you need to be. All kinds of tools to sharpen your sword. So if you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, sow a financial seed. The information is on the screen. But whatever you do, make sure you share this message with somebody you know who needs it, because I know you know somebody who needs this word. But God bless you today. I'm Pastor Tuck. That's Brother Corey. And make sure you come back and see us on next time. God bless you. We love you. And stay tuned for our announcements. Peace.
Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and Spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
We are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level. We are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move? Check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.